Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's Provcast. And my guest this week is Helen Parrish, our still relatively new senior tutor. Welcome, Helen.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation, David.
Tell us, how long have you been at Worcester?
I arrived at the beginning of January, so we're 4 months in.
And how are you finding college?
It's been a tremendously warm and welcoming environment to find myself in. I'd spent about 20 years in my previous role and got rather used to the fact that I knew everyone and knew where everything was. And that first new day at school feeling in January was a little bit disconcerting, but my colleagues have just been fantastic and constructive and helpful and made me feel very much at home here.
Great, great. And before we go on to your role as senior tutor, tell us about your previous role.
So I was a member of staff in the history department at the University of Reading. I was engaged primarily in research and teaching. So I'm a historian of religion and belief, broadly understood. I've written some books and papers on the institutional church, Christian churches of the early modern period, clerical celibacy, discussions about magic and the supernatural in the same period, and some more recent work on the relationship between the natural world and the supernatural. And I was teaching students very much on the same kinds of topics, to some extent at their request. Yeah. I think my original teaching was a lot more traditional in its nature, and with a bit of a nudge from the students, a lot more now on witchcraft and magic and related topics. But I'd been head of department in history for a couple of terms, and at the point at which I came to Worcester, I just stepped down as head of school in humanities.
We must get you to talk about your research at some point in Worcester, because I'm sure there'll be a lot of interest in it. And having heard you talk to a few of our old members about it, it was fascinating. But moving on to your current role, you decided that you wanted to move on from Reading. Oxford is a place that's familiar to you, isn't it?
Oh, yes, but from a long time ago. I was a DPhil student here in the late 1990s and then held a junior research fellowship at Wolfson. So I have a geographical knowledge of the city, but I'm on a relatively steep learning curve when it comes to the local customs and traditions that prevail.
But you knew about the collegiate structure of Oxford and how these rather wonderful but quite unique institutions work.
Well, yes, I had three very enjoyable years at Jesus College, and then three more years at Wolfson. And the two colleges in their outlook, their environment, their architecture, their purpose were very different. Mm. But that's, I think, in some ways, the attractiveness of the collegiate system. There are parts of the university that are engaged in the same activities, but with very different perspectives and outlooks.
So we've tempted you back to Oxford. You're now in the wonderful Worcester College. And for many people listening, they don't always understand the role that people play in college. So forgive me, but what does the senior tutor do?
I think that's a perfectly reasonable question, and I would give a different answer depending which day of the week it is. But I'm one of a growing group of what I think are referred to as professional senior tutors in Oxford. So individuals who haven't necessarily been engaged in teaching or research at the college to which they're appointed, and who are taking on the senior tutor role as effectively a full-time job, often in conjunction with Tutor for Admissions, which is part of my job at the moment, and in some cases, senior tutors act as tutor for graduates. And it's a fascinating job. Some of it has higher level strategy and planning, thinking about the education that we're providing, how we're offering our students the best experience that we can. A lot of it is liaising with other parts of the university and with the senior tutor community more widely. But often the most enjoyable bits are the parts that involve day-to-day, sometimes serendipitous contact with students in college.
And can I ask you about that? Because I know people will be interested to hear what you do. It sounds like a wide-ranging role, but what sort of things do people bring to you when they come to see you?
So in some cases, I will make contact with students if there are concerns about academic progress or if I think a conversation might be useful on academic and pastoral matters. Students will genuinely come to me if they have some good news they want to share. That's always a delight to hear. If they want to talk in a bit more detail about the course that they're taking, about the teaching arrangements, about their current performance and ambition, or if there are that there are other parts of college life that they want to get involved in or think I ought to be getting involved in to provide help where I can. So in the last 3-4 months, actually, some of the most interesting project work has been around sustainability and environment, but also around equalities, diversity and inclusion work, where it's nice to be working alongside members of college, but also a very active and thoughtful student population.
It sounds like you're doing a whole range of things, but are you always the bad cop, or are you sometimes the good cop too?
No, it's nice to be the good cop. So I send letters out to students when they win prizes and bursaries. Students get letters of congratulations for good performances in collections and in prelims. And when students get close to graduating, it's nice to be part of that sense of occasion and satisfaction that comes from completing a programme of study.
And you're not doing this all on your own. You are part of a much bigger academic team, aren't you? Tell us about the team.
Yeah. So a lot of my time is spent working with colleagues in the academic office. I couldn't wish for a better group of people to work with. Their knowledge is extensive and generously shared, and they're willing to provide advice and support and well-placed to do that on a daily basis. So I work very closely with the academic administrator, Philippa Tarver, and with Emma Stansaff, and Elizabeth Smith, and Sophie Clayton and Henrietta Smethurst, who are responsible for effectively the smooth delivery of academic activity within college. And I also work very closely as tutor for admissions with our admissions office, and Jaya and Zoe are tremendously enthusiastic and do a lot of positive work in that area.
It's really easy to take that work for granted, and I know they work and you work as a team incredibly hard. It's the purpose for which Worcester and Oxford really exists. And you know, what are your observations coming in from Reading about how perhaps Oxford does things differently?
To some extent, there is just a shared language across the higher education sector. Almost every university will be concerned about the same issues, talking about the same concerns, and prioritising the business of education and providing our students with a challenging educational environment, but one in which they can thrive and develop as scholars and as individuals. There are some notable differences. Teaching style is very different here. I was used to teaching classes of 25, 30 students at a time in Reading, so a one-to-one tutorial system is one of those standout differences between what's on offer here and at a lot of other institutions. But the subject level content, the expectations that we have and the opportunities that are presented are tremendous, and the fact that students take advantage of that is very much to their credit.
One of the things that people often say to me is that the terms are too short, and it does make for very intense short periods of real pressure for people. Is that what you see when you talk to students?
There is an unstoppable pace to the 8-week teaching term, even if we accept that the business of teaching and learning starts before first week and goes on beyond 8th week. I don't think that level of focus, that level of time commitment, that level of activity could be sustained for a 12 or 13 week period without a break. But it is a big demand on everyone's time in the 8 weeks. But that sense of the collective endeavour and the support that's available and the vibrancy of the academic community is untouchable.
This is a potentially political question. Do senior tutors in Oxford ever talk about extending the length of term and maybe having a reading week in the middle?
I've not heard it mentioned, okay. But I may have my ears to the wrong pavements when I'm listening. It's a model that is certainly more prevalent elsewhere, particularly universities that have semesterized and run 12 or 13 week semesters with a break. I think here there's probably something about once you're on the treadmill, it's very hard to stop, and running at that pace for 4 weeks and then taking a break and then trying to recapture that energy might turn out to be rather harder than we think.
But for people who aren't used to that system, it does take a bit of time to get used to it. You know, there is support, isn't there? Tell us, you know, how the support works.
So I think Worcester does a fantastic job of supporting its students on the academic side and on the pastoral non-academic side, while recognising that the two are inextricably linked. So I will meet students either at their request or at their tutor's request, and my focus is generally on the academic side, but that doesn't mean that the personal circumstances of the student are not important. We have a designated welfare lead, we have a very effective dean team that provides additional support, and colleagues in the academic office are used to dealing with questions and queries from students on a regular basis. So alongside that very close academic relationship that comes through the tutorial system, there is plenty of opportunity for students to seek advice and guidance elsewhere, and many colleagues who are well placed to provide it. I'm hugely grateful for the work that our learning support officer, Rhea Duxbury, does, because she can talk through precisely those kinds of academic related issues with students, whether it's time management, research skills, dealing with writer's block, but having that resource available on site and from people who know the college environment so well is tremendous.
And Trinity term is a pretty intense term for the academic team. Exams are fully underway. You make lots of arrangements for people, you know, who need special provision or assistance. Tell us, you know, how the team is getting on and what kind of things you're currently dealing with when it comes to exams.
So some of it is a basic issue of putting the appropriate timetabled arrangements in place. We do have a lot of students who, for good reasons, need to sit examinations in college rather than in schools. So there's a lot of logistical work goes on there in allocating students to rooms. It has an impact on the wider operation of the college, because during exam season, we try to keep noise levels at a minimum and avoid substantial building works and other things that might disturb students' study or distract from examinations. And along with that, we have queries coming in on a daily basis from students, either with questions about examination arrangements or who need to submit mitigating circumstances requests after examinations. So I think you're right, the core business of the college is quite seasonal in that sense, but examinations is very much the focus of this term.
One of the questions I get asked by old members, it's a frequent question: do students who do exams in their rooms have to wear sub-fusc?
If students are sitting examinations in college rooms, they are expected to arrive in sub-fusc. If students are sitting examinations online in their own bedrooms, that's not a formal requirement unless they really want to dress for the occasion.
Yeah, good. I have been answering correctly. And you're part of a very strong senior tutor community across all the colleges, aren't you? Tell us, you know, how that works.
So there are another 38 senior tutors who are doing jobs that are in many respects comparable to what I'm doing at Worcester. We meet formally a couple of times a term, primarily with a focus on university business and its intersection with college life. The admissions, university admissions committee, which contains a lot of senior tutors, does the same. There's also a committee for tutors for graduates, which meets a couple of times a term. The cascade of information from university side is much appreciated, as is the opportunity for that senior tutors group to get their teeth into the key issues and discuss them in a forum like that. But in some ways, the connections are almost as valuable when they're personal and individuals. So it's a nice environment to be in. I'm the only senior tutor at Worcester, but knowing that there are plenty of other people who are thinking through the same processes is good to know they're there.
Really helpful. We haven't touched on how you interface with the tutor for graduates. There'll be lots of graduates listening in, I know. So How does that work, and how do you work with the tutor for graduates?
So Natalia and I work quite closely, but on slightly different things. So the strategy and planning side of graduate admissions tends to sit more with me, whereas the pastoral side will sit more with Natalia. So she probably has more day-to-day encounters with our graduate community than I do. But that's actually something I'd quite like to work with a little bit more. I see far more undergraduate students than postgraduates, which is part and parcel of the job. But our postgraduate community is substantial in size and has such a lot to offer to college that joining up these roles would be a positive way forward. We also have a lot of administrative support, again, from the academic office, who help us to handle admissions and selection processes, graduate scholarships and other things that form part of that group activity rather than just sitting with one person.
I know you're working, or you're keen to work more closely with our new joint heads of research, Emmanuel Avai and John Parrington. Is it part of your desire to work more closely with the graduate community, but also to promote research at Worcester?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's a formal part of the senior tutor job as it's defined, but arriving in a college which has decided to make that level of investment in cultivating a lively research environment is a nice place to land. My office is out the back door of the research fellows room, so there's usually plenty of activity and conversation. And Emanuela and John are doing a tremendous amount of work already to try and build bridges across the community and encourage conversations that might not normally take place within colleges. It's breaking the assumption that it's faculties and divisions that handle research and encouraging us to think about the environment that we're offering. And particularly actually to our early career researchers, postdocs, graduate students who are perhaps looking for a bit of informal mentoring or an opportunity to share their work, to deliver a paper, to work with other organisations, and putting that at the heart of what Worcester does seems a really positive investment of time and resource.
And if I can ask you a personal question, you're a mum, and as a senior female academic, how do you balance work and home life and manage to stay sane?
I'm quite pleased by the suggestion that I've managed to stay sane. I think slightly perversely, the flexible working environment during COVID lockdowns, which most of us probably don't want to go back to, did at least waken me up to the possibility that there are different ways of managing time within a day that means you can focus on the people who need you most at that time. My family are probably slightly long-suffering, and none of them are historians or have the slightest interest in the study of the past, so I've lost the battle on that one. But I think both of my children, to some extent, just appreciate knowing what their parents do and knowing what opportunities are available to them, whatever their career path might take.
Do you spend time enjoying the gardens at Worcester, walking around, meeting people like the rest of us in college?
Yes, I think for the first couple of weeks I barely ventured outside, but that was primarily because the January weather was atrocious. In spring, the college is just stunning, and I've had a couple of walking meetings, ambling around the grounds with colleagues, because that seems an amenable way to have a chat while getting some fresh air. And the grounds and the gardens change on a daily basis, so when the sun's shining or after rainfall, you get a very different sense of the sights and the sounds and the smells. A random purchase just before the March 2020 lockdown, I bought myself a second-hand camera, which got put to phenomenal use during lockdown, just wandering around, having the time to pause and look at things. And one day I'll bring that into college.
You've anticipated my next question, which is, yes, have you taken any photographs of Worcester, and when can we exhibit them?
I think the exhibiting might depend on the focus and the quality of them, but it's nice to see people's pictures and actually comments on the Worcester environment and online and on social media. You get a sense of the vibrancy and the appreciation and the value that is attached to the circumstances and the situation in which we find ourselves. Zoe and I are very bad at coming up with grand plans and then shelving them, but thinking about a photography series on perspectives of Worcester and just inviting anyone who was on site to capture those moments of college life that would otherwise go unnoticed.
In my old workplace, I used to run a photography competition, And it was a global law firm, so we used to get photographs from all over the world in all our different offices, and some of them were amazing. So, yeah, maybe we should do something like that. Helen, any ambitions that you feel able to share for, you know, the rest of your first year? You know, what are you going to be doing over the summer, and, you know, what will you be hoping to achieve for the next part of your first year?
I think there are probably still some bridges to be built. I've got to know some colleagues very well, both on the administrative and professional side, but also within college. There are some folk that I haven't yet had a chance to sit down with and have the kind of conversation that probably needs a bit of space outside term time. And December seems a long way away at the moment, but planning for the next admissions round will start very shortly. We have an open day, a couple of open days in college towards the end of June, another one in September, and that will be probably my first admissions cycle as senior tutor. So I'm quite keen to get my feet under the table on that one and just learn from the experience of others before we get too far through the calendar year.
Helen, thank you. I'm glad that you've joined us here at Worcester, that things seem to be going so well, but also taking the time to tell people what the senior tutor does and some of your ambitions for the role. It's great to have you on board. For those who would like to make contact with you, it's very easy to do that, isn't it?
I have two email addresses. One of them is the probably easier to remember, senior.tutor@work.ox.ac.uk, or I have a personal one, which is helen.parish, same address. I'm usually in an office, first floor of staircase 5, and very open to passing traffic and drop-ins if there's anyone who wants to come and visit. If the door is closed or locked or I'm busy, I might ask you to come back at a different time, but otherwise I'm very pleased to talk.
Great. Thank you so much. Please do feel free to make an appointment to come and see me in one of my drop-ins. Please let us have feedback about who to interview on the Provcast. But for now, thanks for listening, and I look forward to talking to you all very soon.